This is Timothy Gordon announcing a new section of Aristotle's Ethics Live beginning January the 19th, taught by me in person on Zoom. It's going to be Tuesday nights at 7 for the whole family. All ages are welcome. Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics is life-changing. Learn it with me on Tuesday nights. For more information, go to the Enroll tab on timothyjgordon.com. What's up, parish orphans and retrogrades? Timothy Gordon here, giving you a unique chance to sound your voice because I'm interested in what the relative amount of interest would be in by you guys in a class taught by today's guest on Schola, Latin chant corresponding to the Tridentine Latin Mass, by this exciting guest who is about to appear on my show in just a couple moments. His name is Mark Donnelly. He's the canceled Canucks anthem singer, most famous anthem singer in the NHL, now canceled for being based in Red Pill. You'll hear all about his story in the upcoming video. And he has offered to teach chant, specifically Schola, maybe some polyphony, in a class on Zoom through my teaching network on timothyjgordon.com. So we'll offer it as another class, maybe starting in February. Please comment below here on YouTube, comment at timothyjgordon.com, or contact me if you'd be interested in taking this class from him. He is hardcore. He's a pro. It's kind of like taking opera from a real champ at opera. It's like taking rock and roll classes from Eddie Vedder or something. This guy's one of the best in the biz. And it's a great opportunity to do so, to learn from him. Hey, if you're not interested in it, don't comment, don't worry about it. But if you are, I'd like to know provisionally from the outset what the specific amount of interest there would be. Also, on timothyjgordon.com, you can enroll for classes 6 days from today. Aristotle's Ethics, opening the 19th of January. Another section, we're going to go through all 10 books of the Nicomachean Ethics, and it's going to be really good stuff. With no further ado, I give you Mark Donnelly. He's telling his story. Support him. Listen to him. It's a tale of woe, but he's also a champ. We'll see you guys on the other side. Thanks. Parish orphans and retrogrades, Timothy Gordon back with you at the beginning of the dark days, I'm afraid. And today I've got a special guest, Mr. Mark Donnelly. Mark is a traditional Catholic composer, best known for formerly singing the anthem for the Vancouver Canucks. Mark, how the heck are you? Great to have you with us.
Well, I'm doing great. I'm glad we finally were able to have a chat here. I guess I'm doing as well as everybody else, right, or as poorly as everybody else, however you want to look at it.
It's all relative. I mean, it's half empty, half full. So you can say either way.
You know, the thing is, I think about those old war movies, right? The black and white war movies about the World War I, World War II, and especially on days like today, where you know it's pretty crummy times. And but this morning it's super sunny in White Rock, British Columbia. And you can go out, and in our neighborhood, we'll be walking around, and probably 9 out of 10 people aren't wearing masks. You walk by them, they'll smile, say hello, and it's nice to have that bit of normality,
right?
You know.
And you say this the day after. This is Saturday. This probably won't come up until Monday. So who knows what kind of new devilry will have slipped under the bridge by the 11th, when I think I'm going to run this. Maybe I'll run it on Sunday the 10th. But at any rate, what happened yesterday was the beginning of the social media purge. We don't have to get all the way into it, but it was a dark day because people saw that our estimations for what's coming have not been
overstayed. And it's a dark time. And Mark, no one knows this better than guys like me and you, well, both of whom have been canceled. We're both sort of West Coasters. I'm a West Coast South. You're a West Coast North guy. Of course, I lost my job over the summer. You lost your job this winter as the Vancouver Canucks singer, and both of us were canceled. Can you tell us about that some? Is it still fresh? It's happened December the 4th. You're the longtime anthem singer for the Canucks. Best known NHL singer in the league, right? You've got quite a name for yourself in your profession. And why'd you get canceled?
Well, just a little bit of background. About 8 years ago, I sang for an abortion rally. It was called the New Abortion Caravan. You remember the old abortion caravan that happened before Roe v. Wade? They had this caravan that went across the United States, and I believe wound up in Washington, D.C. And it was about the kind of the star of the caravan was this woman who died from an illegal abortion. So they wanted to make abortion, you know, back then they said it's legal, safe, and rare. And yeah. So Stephanie Gray up here started what was called a new abortion caravan. And they were going to see, they had graphic pictures of the woman who had died from the illegal abortion. Well, she was having graphic pictures of, aborted fetuses. And so they were starting that. They were starting in Vancouver and going right across the country to Ottawa, where our national capital is. And so I sang for that. I was trying to contact the Canucks to find out if they were okay with it. Right. And they weren't calling back. So finally, I just decided to do it. And when I did, there was backlash and people were calling for them to fire me back then. And mind you, this is eight years ago. So they said no. At the time, one of their players had posted a photo of him killing a bear with a crossbow, and he posted it on Twitter. And so people were saying, oh, how can you let your players do this? And the Canucks made a statement that, you know, as long as our employees, players, people associated with the team are not doing anything illegal, they can do whatever they want in their off time. And so they used the same argument when I sang for the anti-abortion rally. Well, yeah. So now in 2020, last month, you'd think it was the same thing. I was singing at a rally. They called it an anti-mask rally. It wasn't an anti-mask rally. That might be a component in it, but it was really a freedom rally. It was a freedom to talk about the pros and cons of wearing masks, social distancing, having limited capacities in churches and restaurants and schools. Really, it should have simply been what I've always done as an anthem singer, which is singing for Canadians. It doesn't matter. I've sung for the, we have a party up here called the NDP, the New Democratic Party. They're very much like your Democratic Party down there. They're more left wing. They're actually quite a radical, they have their radical wing. Which is becoming the mainstream wing for them, just like the Democrat Party in the States. But I've sung at their leadership convention, because my goal was not to politicize the anthem. My goal was to use the anthem as something that represents our unity.
A binding force.
Our yeah. binding force. And so I'll sing for people I disagree with. And in fact, when I sing at the hockey games, I'm sure I'm singing with thousands of people I disagree with.
Of course.
Because I don't know what their political or their social or their religious backgrounds are. In fact, I'm very popular with the Sikh community because they love Canada.
Yeah,
and I mean, so in that respect, I'm right there with them.
Anytime you're a conservative Catholic, traditional Catholic, like we are, you don't walk into a room in an open society and in a liberal civil society and assume that people are quote unquote with you. That's just not what we do. So I understand the sentiment. You are a guy that is used to being part of a small, I don't want to say clique, but a small subgroup of Orthodox Christians who don't expect to be a part and parcel of the culture. And, you know, you're willing to get along to some extent, as am I, as are all of us. We're directed by Christ to be in the world, but not of the world. So you're good at this. And I've seen your tapes. I've seen your, you have a famous, famous video that went around the world. Maybe we can talk about that in a second. But you are the best known of all the NHL singers. So you've negotiated, you've navigated really successfully being a serious-minded, religious, Catholic person with having a job in the secular society, in the entertainment secular society. How did they get you this time? How did this get out? Was it a picture?
Well, what happened was the organizers of this freedom rally, and you understand that freedom is freedom. Just like the anthem is for everybody, freedom is for everybody too. And so you get a lot of very thoughtful people. You get surgeons, you get engineers, you get statisticians who are all questioning the protocols, both with regards to the mask, with the social distancing, certainly with the vaccine or the different vaccines. And you also have the people who have not studied Thomas Aquinas, who have not studied Aristotle, who haven't read people like Hegel and Marx and Descartes, because if they did, they'd realize that none of their ideas are new.
Right.
They're pretty old, in fact.
Indeed.
So, I mean, you can even go back to Democritus and the pre-Socratics. And in fact, they are starting to sound more like the pre-Socratics.
I agree.
There's a whole spectrum of people who are at these freedom rallies. So some of them, I think, are kind of crazy, but there's no law against being crazy. You know, there's no law against being ignorant. Now, maybe you should be better informed, but I think most people have this gut feeling that, you know what, as a human being, I should be able to express my opinion. And I should be able to discuss something with my other people in society. And so Indeed. I was looking at this group of people, and they were being marginalized. They were being bullied. And just like in high school, I got into more fights sticking up for my friends who were bullied than I got into fights on my own behalf. And
yeah.
So with regards to that, a lot of the bullies in high school, they didn't know I played hockey because up here, hockey's a community thing, not a high school thing. So they thought I was just this chubby kid who played trombone in the band. And so they'd find out soon that my dad, who was from Northern Ontario, taught me how to fight. So I said, well, sure, I'll sing for you guys, because I figured they needed a boost. I wasn't even singing with them because I agreed with them. Even
gotcha.
Though as time goes on, I more and more agree with them.
Yeah.
And so what happened was one of the organizers was so excited that I was singing. He posted something on Facebook saying, oh, Mark Donnelly's going to be with us at the Christmas Freedom Rally. And what they didn't say is that one of the stipulations for me was, well, if it's a Christmas rally, I want to sing a Christmas song. Because, you know, to keep Christ in Christmas. So I was also going to sing O Holy Night. So I sing in the anthem, sing O Holy Night, and that's it. That was going to be the extent of my participation. Well, the owner of the Vancouver Canucks, Francesco Aquilini, when this is posted, someone from the local paper up here, the Vancouver Sun, calls him up or posts that Vancouver Canucks anthem singer singing at anti-mask rally. So first of all, they don't call it what it really is, which is a freedom rally. I say an anti-mask rally. And Francesco Aquilini goes on Twitter and says, hey, Vancouver Sun, former anthem singer for the Vancouver Canucks, singing at the rally.
Wow.
So that was how I was fired.
That's not even legal, I don't think, to without firing you, just say former, you know, janitor or whatever we're talking about. Yeah. Former dog catcher. Your mistake. The Vancouver Sun was probably like, no, we just checked his status. You got to fire him first, dude. I mean, this is all fresh. This is a month old. So are you okay? Same stuff people were asking me last summer. Are you okay? You got a big family. Have you been through the rounds? Have you talked to your employer? Have you settled up? Have you been like, hey, you said I was fired before I was actually fired?
They still haven't contacted me. Now, here's the thing. I'm not an employee of the Canucks. I was an independent contractor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and independent contractor is a great way of getting around paying any other benefits other than, you know, a fee.
Of course. So, yeah.
But I was an independent contractor. We didn't have a contract for this season. But you know what? We didn't have a contract for last season or many of the previous seasons. I've sung with the Canucks for about 20 years. 20 years. And wow. I would say there's a small number of those years we actually got around to signing contracts because we had a very good relationship.
Right.
They understood that I was a face of the Canucks. In fact, I had business cards from the Canucks and said anthem singer. You know?
Yeah.
That
sounds like evidence that you had a reasonable expectation, I know in American law, of assuming to come back. American and Canadian law ain't the exact same, particularly on employment law, which is state to state. But I mean, have you looked into pursuing litigation here? Because I'm not sure what your equivalent of First Amendment protections are, which here only protect you against a public defendant, not a government defendant, not a private defendant. So it's a little bit rough even for Americans. It sounds like this might be worth pursuing litigation against the Canucks. They don't want a whole thing in the papers.
Well, I'm not a litigious person, if that's the word. Is that the correct word?
Yeah, I mean, people are all kind of trained to say that, and like very few people in private life who aren't high-powered business magnates are litigious. I'm not even sure what it means. I guess it means you litigate all the time. Very few people are. But that's just because those of us who aren't in, you know, high-powered businessmen are not going around having this kind of thing happen more than once, twice, thrice in a lifetime.
Yeah, except it is happening now.
Right. So I think it's bad for people to have. I just want to say this real quick. The law, I mean, justice and wanting to see justice done, as many scumbags as I went to law school with, right, Mark? There are a lot of people that are just in it for the money. That's a sizable portion of lawyers and doctors. Law school, med school works a highly similar way. Lawyers get a bad rap, doctors don't. Lawyers deserve less of a bad rap, doctors deserve more. They're very similar. But good attorneys are also aplenty. And good attorneys who are aplenty are really into this concept of IUS, use. You were talking about it earlier, justice. And there's only one rigorous, robust procedural way to get justice when this kind of thing happens. And it's through the law, and that involves hiring a lawyer. It doesn't make you litigious, aside from the sense that, well, I guess Socrates is a musical man if he sings, right?
Yeah, well, and I think you're absolutely correct. And that explains why, yes, I am looking into it. Because I'll tell you, I show up at that rally on the 5th, which is the next day, and two people came up to me. One fellow came up, said he was fired for going to the rally.
Wow.
For just not even that he had been at the rally. And notice, I was fired not for singing at the rally. I was our business relationship was terminated.
But for attending, your business relationship was severed just for your attendance?
No, for planning to attend. I hadn't even attended yet.
Really?
Yes. The rally was on the 5th, and I was jettisoned on the 4th.
Well, I hadn't put that together. Sorry, I didn't have that in my show notes. That's outrageous. What an outrage.
And just with that, let's say the Canucks had done this. They called me up and said, "Mark, what the hell are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, I'd explain it to you. I thought people were being bullied." They'd say, "Okay, either I see your point, or you know what? We'd still rather not have you sing." And so I can't tell you whether I would have decided to sing or not sing. Right. I think I probably would have still sung.
Right.
But then they could say, well, we're going to have to part ways then. And right. So then they put out a press release, says, after 20 years of service, Mr. Donnelly will no longer be singing for the Canucks. He's moving on to other endeavors, and we're excited to have blah, blah, blah as our main anthem singer. And, you know, they could just make some boilerplate, right?
Of course. Of
what you do when you sever a relationship with a long-time associate. But they didn't do that.
Yeah.
They canceled instead. They took the, I guess you could say, they took the low road.
Right.
And that's not just. And so back to the other fellow, so he gets fired for simply planning to attend the rally. Well, fortunately, he mentioned this to either a lawyer or someone who's familiar with human rights violations. And so he calls up his employer, and the fellow gets reinstated in his job that same day.
Wow.
Another person there, lady, comes up to me, tells me the same story, that she was also fired, but she was not rehired. So she showed when she left for the rally, she had a job. When she got to the rally, she had no job.
Why, if you don't mind my asking, why was it published, that is, the list of people that would be in attendance? Why was this all ex ante?
Well, I think what happened was, people would post, "Hey, I'm going to the Freedom Rally
right. Coming.
And so, you know, when people see that, then they try to get around, and there's an active effort to cancel people.
Right.
And cancel them and kind of destroy their lives.
I know.
You know, I don't, honestly, I don't get it. It's the same way that, someone like Michael Voris, who's talking about how people are, we just don't understand the evil that's out there.
Yeah, it's not like it's a congruent and symmetrical drive. These people, and I mean the far left, they are nemeses of ours, because good and evil are set against each other, and we strive desperately to cling to the good. But it's not like it's all symmetrical and equal. We're not doing, we don't do the same things in reverse, even if these people are nemeses. We don't make lists like the infamous AOC list making of all those who voted for Democrat candidate X and say, okay, we're going to take revenge on them if our guy wins. That would never enter our minds. We do not go around trying to cancel the filth that we probably should be trying to cancel on places like Netflix or Hollywood movies. We're just like, I'm not going to watch that. We don't go around doing this. Our minds don't operate this way. And that's because, and also we don't throw people in gulags. And that's what's coming, is the gulag and the you know, cyber night and the total shutdown. It began last night with the, let's call it the deplatforming of the president. We don't think like this at all. They do. What we have to do is not necessarily emulate them, but read your Sun Tzu, The Art of War, and learn to at least think like the enemy. It doesn't mean you have to act as you think, but we have to understand that this is what the worst do. This is what the wicked do, and this is what Vorse is always talking about, and it's a big part of understanding cancel culture. Is we don't need to like understand it in the sense of empathizing with the cancel culturists, but understand, okay, they want to do this and they want to do that much more. They want to throw us in gulags or re-education camps. And I mean, you're just a bit north of the border, Mark, but I'm well south of the border. I'm in the American South, and all over America, this is what's coming. It's going to get really, really ugly in 11 days.
You know, I was talking to a singer, and I won't say who it is, but she said, Mark, you don't understand. Not everybody's committed to excellence.
Right.
And this was with regards to rehearsals and the execution of musical pieces. You know, I figure you don't have to be perfect, but you strive to be perfect in what you do. And anybody who knows me, who knows that I am not a perfect person. I'm not anywhere close to it, you know, but I keep, as far as music is concerned, I keep hammering at trying to get better. Yeah. You always try to get, it's like sports. You always try to get that little extra edge that makes you better today than you were tomorrow or last week.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, to do that, you have to have your measuring sticks, right? You have right. to know what better means. And so I told her, I said, look, I understand that. Or rather, I'm aware of that. I don't understand that. I'm aware of it, but I don't understand it. So because I can't, you know, a lot of people will say, to quote Chesterton saying, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. Right. And so they use that to mean that you don't have to strive to be excellent.
Right.
That's not what he meant.
Right.
What he meant is don't hold back until you think you have all your ducks in a row. He said, if it's worth doing, you do it rather than have inaction or rather than just sit back and not do anything.
Yeah.
That's what Chesterton meant. So,
right.
But he never said that. It doesn't mean that you just, you're satisfied with mediocrity.
Of course. In life, if you aim for an A, half the time you wind up with an A minus. So you at least need to set your sights high. If you have a little bit of slippage, you still do high, just not quite as high as you want. I think it was Henry James that said, excellence does not require perfection. You just, but at least aim for perfection and you'll wind up in excellence.
Yeah. So, I mean, even our Lord said, you know, strive to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Right.
Everybody knows we cannot be perfect as him. But what is he's talking about a technique. He's talking about a mindset.
I like that. Yeah.
You know, so anyway,
when
I don't
we
know.
Talk
you know,
about the cancel culture.
The valley, I was just showing up to do what I do. I'm a musician.
Right.
You know, and what do? I sing. And what am I best known for? I'm best known for singing an anthem. But my main focus as a musician is as a composer and a Catholic composer and a choral conductor, both Schola and Polyphonic Choir, particularly for the traditional mass. Beautiful. But what most people know me for is singing the anthem. And so that's all I was showing up to do, that and singing O Holy Night, because we have our family Christmas CD, which we put out in 2009. A lot of people like it. And so I was doing the things that I do. I wasn't even going to speak at the rally. But after I got canned by the Canucks, and in fact, one of the officials of the Canucks, I forget who it was, also he was contacted, and he said yes, that I was not, excuse me, I was no longer associated with the team. And which is again kind of interesting, because they still haven't contacted me.
That's odd.
But I was getting so many calls from the press for a statement, I figured I had to write one out. So I wound up writing one out. I was supposed to get a newsletter out that weekend for my music endeavors, and that wound up getting put off for a couple of weeks because of this. So I wound up writing the statement and then reading it at the rally.
Oh, wow.
And
you got it already
they kind
ahead
of pushed
that,
me.
The rally?
The Canucks that's pushed crazy. Me into being a freedom fighter.
Yeah, it's like
and
so
I didn't
freedom
want to do that.
Fighters
I'm
before.
I'm a composer.
No,
you know, my job, Catherine and I made the commitment last year, just about a year ago, just before Christmas 2019, that we were going to really focus on my composing, because I feel that I have a message to convey through my music. I try to write my, you know, kind of borrow from scripture. I try to write music that's in this world, but not of it.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And that's my job, that's my calling, that's my avocation, if you will, that we both believe is what God wants me to do. And so you know, it's a struggle. Is it easy? I mean, I'm not trying to write pop tunes. I'm not trying to be in the top 40. I'm trying to write music that brings souls closer to God. And that's not a lucrative business. You know, a lot of people don't want to get closer to God. In fact, I think more and more, a lot of people hate God and are embracing the things that are anti-God. And yeah. So that's my focus. I don't want to get into I didn't want to get into the fray, so to speak, except for in my limited way as a singer. That's all right. I was planning to do.
Well, that's how a lot of freedom fighters are pushed there. I mean, again, I'm going to bring everyone back to the fight between good and evil, between what I think is the properly conceived right and the left, even in the sense of sinister. It means sinister. It's biblical. Right-wing people, the reason we come off as too many right-wingers come off as weak and a bit cucked, come off as kind of weak and a little bit sort of not understanding the nature of the spiritual combat and real combat, is because they are just trying to do what they're trying to do. They're not trying to mess with anyone. The left, the diabolic left with its head as Satan, its whole mission is bound up with messing with these good people and pulling them down and punishing them and using hook or crook to get them to be messed up and miserable and sad and condemned. So it's really important that people understand that. And instead of just saying that there's a progression, there's an arc to people, good people, good, especially traditional Catholics like you, like me, There's an arc. Some people are more fighters by nature than others. Some people are less. But there needs to be a development where it's like, yeah, I wasn't originally a freedom fighter. I was kind of pushed into this, like, I don't know, Luke Skywalker or something. But as I went along, I embraced the fight more. And I see a lot of that in you, Mark. I think people are going to connect with the idea over the next weeks and months, particularly Americans, particularly after January the 20th, that it's no longer good enough to say, well, I was pulled into this. I don't want the fight. I only did this because I was pulled into it. That's fine as a kind of origin story. But and it also makes historiographical sense, right? But except we need to take the ball and run. It's like, okay, well, now we see how evil cancel culture is, how evil the left is. They want us dead. They think we have no place in society. And people will stick with guys like me and you even after they've been canceled when they hear that message. How can people help you out? How can they contact you? How can they get on your website? How can they consume your stuff? Because it's really good stuff, man.
Well, first of all, if they want to hear what I do,
yeah,
because that's what they. It's fine for someone to support me because they agree with my my intellectual positions or my view on society. I'm happy that people would support me in that way, because I think what you're standing up for, what I'm standing up for. We're standing up for even the people who don't agree with us right now. I started reading Animal Farm rereading Animal Farm a couple of days ago. And I'll tell you, even if people could just spend a couple of hours on that, as long as they don't realize it's just a fairy tale.
Right.
Hopefully it would open their eyes.
Snowballing Napoleon.
As far as being a musician, that doesn't necessarily make me a good musician. It might make a good neighbor, but so what people need to do is go to my YouTube channel. Well, as long as it's still up, you know, as long as they don't connect the dots and right. realize the guy who sang at the Freedom Rally is also the guy who writes church music.
Right.
So go to vocalart.ca and listen to my stuff. In fact, we just released a mini documentary called Cantus Firmus, The Music of Mark Emerson Donald. Work of art, really, by Nathan Douglas, the filmmaker, on my music. And I would suggest go there. It should be the first thing if you go to vocalart.ca. It should be the first thing that's up. You can also go to Rumble and look for M.E. Donnelly, and it's up on Rumble, too. And then they'll see what I do. They'll hear some of my music. They'll hear really how formed and how my family was formed through church music. And then you can go and listen to some of the pieces that are in the documentary in full, also on that channel. And if you like what I do, which I hope you do, is you can go to WonderWee, which is, and there will be a link there. WonderWee is a crowdfunding platform, kind of like Patreon, except they don't kick people off because they're Christian. Right. And so I don't know. I said it to you. I forget what it is. M. Donnelly Music, I think it is. So if you go to M. Donnelly Music, you can leave a donation there. I'd appreciate that. The other thing is, if you're in Canada, you can go to Una Voce Canada website and go to donate. And on the drop-down menu, choose MED Composer. And then you can get a Revenue Canada tax receipt for donating right. to my composing. And right now, it would be really helpful because even before this, my income was cut almost in half because all live gigs were canceled. You know, and that's how I made a lot of my money, was through my live gigs. And now think about it. My most visible engager, the Canucks, have severed ties with me because they deemed that I was doing something that was socially irresponsible. Think about how that would affect someone who's best known for singing the national anthem.
Right.
So the national anthem singer is socially irresponsible. Should we hire him or should we not?
It's devastating, man. Well, you look, know? So yeah, the here's the point. People are now unable to feel like they're responsibly giving to their parishes in a lot of cases, aside from a small minority. People ask me all the time. They email and they say, "What, you know, where can I, it doesn't count as tithing, but where can I do charitable giving? Because I have this money I'd like to be giving." The cancel culture, as it amps up, and as the church is really the church men, not the church, but the church men, the leaders are by and large failing, and we don't want to support them. I say, look, help out your brother, Mark Donnelly, people. I mean, it's, he took a stand. He got knocked down. He does something beautiful we all know and love. Scola and the polyphonic chant. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Go check out his stuff. And if you have that those extra nickels to rub together because you're not giving to your church, please consider giving to Mark Donnelly. I want to close with a couple things. A very, very somber, beautiful. I thought maybe you could do just a short chant, take us out in that. And then if you don't mind, you know, maybe we could throw up the video of the trip to go out on something light, because you were singing the anthem, tripped over the red carpet, and it was like a worldwide media explosion. This happened not super recently, but it was really cool the way you got up after the trip. And I think people will really connect with that. That's what you're doing now. You tripped, and you were actually tripped by someone else, and you're back on your skates. So,
well, here's just the funny thing about that is the carpets were supposed to have been removed, because there was a ceremonial face-off beforehand.
Yeah.
And people thought, well, you know, what's he doing skating and singing the anthem? Well, I had done that probably over 100 times at junior hockey games, you know, and people loved it. And it made sense. We're playing hockey. Why not do the anthem on skates? I mean, I played hockey since I was a kid. And so so I went out, I tripped. And the thing is, what people don't understand too is they say, well, couldn't he see the carpet? Well, no, I had two spotlights on me.
Right.
I couldn't see anything in front of me except the boards and the players and the officials. So right. I tripped over it as I'm finishing up the anthem. And then I go off. I'm thinking, man, that must have looked really, really funny. Because here's one thing. My first professional show 30 years ago, there was a veteran actor that said to me one time during lunch, he says, Mark, you have to remember we're all clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the best advice I'd ever heard. Because we're entertainers. That's whenever I have students who are getting kind of uppity and thinking that they're hot stuff, it's like, you're a servant. Yeah. You know, your job is to satisfy the bums in the seats. That's right. What a singer does. And so I'm going off and talking about litigation. The rink manager was right there, and you could tell he had this terror in his eyes, like somehow I was going to sue them because I tripped over the carpet. Because I banged my knees up. I couldn't play hockey for about 10 days.
Wow.
When I tripped over it. But I was laughing, and he says, well, is there anything I can do for you? And I said, yeah, can you get me a couple of Tylenol? Because because of the adrenaline, I knew my knees weren't hurting that bad then. But as the adrenaline kind of waned, my knees were going to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was only 10 days. I was back on the ice after that.
Well, a lot of the viewers might have seen it. ESPN watchers and stuff might have seen it. It's hilarious. I mean, you go to your knees, you don't hit face first, and you just pop right back up. Quite amazing. And you keep singing. It's a great metaphor for what we do when life bats us down. And that's why I thought people would see it. And it's also just hilarious. And you're a hell of an entertainer.
I'll tell you the badge of honor that I got from that.
Yeah.
I was Keith Olbermann's worst person of the day. Or were the week, you? I think.
What,
yeah.
Oh, what
and so awful. I thought, man, I must be doing something right.
Yeah, that's right.
I beat out this college administrator who cut the funding for a single mom student athlete. I was worse than her.
Really? Why did he? Why was he so mad? Unless he knew.
I don't know why he was mad. Athlete. But really? You know what? He said he got a lot of backlash for it because people said, "What are you talking about? He tripped over the carpet and kept singing." Everybody thought that was great, and so he had to come on later and say, "Well, I was just kidding."
He's like the worst person on earth. Save there's LeBron James, and then there's Keith Olbermann in contention for the worst person on earth. So, man, my hat's off to you, Mark. That you're
yeah. So I'm actually happy about that.
He should be. You should be, brother. Well, look, I'm gonna put all your information up on the screen. People, please do support Mark. Go check his stuff out. It's really good. And I'm gonna stick this tripping video at the end. Do you want to? Do you have a brief chant type prayer you could bring us out?
Yeah, you know what I'll do? I'll sing the Marian antiphon for this
beautiful
season.
Beautiful.
The Alma Redemptoris Mater is. Most people don't realize Christmas season goes till February 2nd.
Right.
The Feast of the Purification. And so from Advent to the purification, the antiphon that is the church assigns for that is the Alma Redemptoris Mater, the soul or the loving part of our Redeemer is really what that means. And so I'll sing that now. And just to on that, people, you can check out, there's a type of composition that I have, which is an organum or a harmonization of Gregorian chant that I call Organum Novi Mundi, which is Organum of the New World. Wasn't written in Europe, it was written in North America. And they can check out the Salve Regina or the Adorate Devote or the Veni Creator. Those are all up on my my website. And if people want the scores to that, if they are fortunate enough to be able to be singing in their parishes, these are things that can help enrich the liturgy at your parishes. And this is either a Novus Ordo parish or the traditional rite. So
beautiful.
Anyway, here's the Alma.
Okay, I want to ask you something after you sing this. I just had an idea. Go ahead.
Okay.
Alma Redemptoris Mater, quae per via Caeli porta manes, et stella Maris, succore cadenti, sorgere qui curat populo, tuque genoisti natura mirante, tum sanctum genitorem. Virgo prius ac posterius, Gabrieli sabore sumens illudave, peccatorum miserere.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. As you were, it was actually a little bit before you started singing, Mark, I get requests all the time for, do I know anyone that can teach Schola? On Zoom now, I have all these Zoom hours. I'm wondering if you're interested in teaching people. We could work some deal where on my my kind of teaching program, you know, I teach Aristotle, I teach church history, I was teaching Catholic Republic. Now I opened up a second section of Aristotle, opening January the 19th, people. If you'd like to teach Schola, which you could do with face-to-face stuff, so maybe we should talk about that because I think a lot of people would register for that.
It's interesting you mention that because in November, I was supposed to, there was a parish up here that was really excited about me doing a Gregorian chant workshop for them. And then that was supposed to be in March. It was the week after everything got shut down. So finally they said, look, things aren't opening up. And in October or November, we wound up doing a Zoom Gregorian chant workshop. And it worked out really well. So I'd definitely be open to that. And the organizers of it were very, very happy with it, because I do a little bit of Gregorian chant history, the history of not just of the when it was used, but also the restoration of the performance of it, and then some tips on how they can do it in their parishes.
Right.
And when things open up, I can even come to their parishes to help out.
Well, these Zoom classes, one silver lining in the cloud of the beer bug over the last year is that the Zoom classes work really well. They fill up. My first Aristotle course was 200 people. This is a real thing. So we should work out some deal. We'll do this behind the scenes. People want to learn Scola. I was doing a Scola group my second to last year as a teacher, and you know, kind of got cut short a semester in, but I'd be interested in it. I think a lot of people would be interested in it, and it's eminently doable on Zoom. So you and I should talk about that, and then I can announce it if we decided to go forward with some sort of arrangement there. But you could have a group of 100, 150, 200 people. You're teaching Scola all over the world, so they can bring it back to their parishes. Let's talk about that. Everyone, check out Mark's information. Mark Donnelly, former anthem singer for the Canucks. God bless this guy. We have to stand by our own, circle the wagons around canceled heroes among the Catholic right, especially, and really all of the right. God bless you, Mark, and thanks for appearing with me today, brother.
Well, thank you, Tim. And we have to stick together because the other side is unified and we're not.
That's right. That's right. You know? We ought to unify.
They're unified in that they're against pretty well everything we stand for.
Amen, brother. Deus Volt, thanks for appearing.
Okay.
God bless you guys.
God bless you, Tim and Steph.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a million.
Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit.
If you like this video and my other work, please consider supporting me on Patreon page or at timothyjgordon.com.